Fine. Ila vetuvia krave de arva. So il, we're continuing to talk about which edim are kosher, which edim are pasul, right? Il and tuvia were the edim, and they were krovim of the arev. Okay, the arev is a guarantor. Okay, let's say any of you, none of you have any real property, I assume, right? So if you want to take or any earning capacity. So if you want to take out a loan from the bank, you would need a guarantor. And normal course of events would probably be your parents. Right? So Ila and Tuvia were Edim for a loan, and they were also relatives of the guarantor. Yeah? So Rav Papa thought, well, maybe we'll say that this is not a problem, right? That since they are not krovim of the malva and the loiva, they're not related to either the borrower or to the lender, so that's not an issue, the fact that they're related to the guarantor. The guarantor is not really a party to the loan, he's just promising to pay in the event that the borrower can't. Right, therefore, maybe they are not. This is not a problem. And then, Amarli Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Le Rav Papa. Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, "I leith lei leloive lav baser arva azil malve." If the loive doesn't have any money, right? If he can't pay back the loan, wouldn't you then go to the arev, to the guarantor, and have him pay instead of the loive? The answer is, of course, yes. Right? Therefore, we see that there is, in fact, that being related to the Arev is to the grantor is also a problem. Who's in Rosh Rabbah here?
Yes.
Just you? And you?
And Dan.
And you as well? Okay. So, what daf are you up to? You're on Yudchet Amud Aleph. Okay, so when you get to Yudchet Amud Beis, you're going to see the sugya of Palgin and Dibura, and there's a very important Ramban and Ritva. You'll actually get back to the sugya here. These lines here in the Gemara are very important for that sugya. Palgin and Dibura is Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin Daf Tes and Daf Chafei. Okay. Masnizin. Let's do the last mission of the parak. We'll finish. Misha Nigmar Dinoi. Uvarach uvalif neoisei bezdin ein soistrin esdino kol esdino. So somebody who it was decided that he was chayev, right? And then he went and then he ran away and he came back. So the bezdin won't reconsider his case, right? Why is this not obvious? We'll see why it's not obvious in a minute. Okay. Kol makim sheyam dushnaim. V'yoyimru me'idin anu be'ish ploini shenigmar dino bevezdin shel ploini u'ploini eidav harei ze yei ha'reik. Okay, any time that somebody that two eidim come to a bezdin and say that guy was condemned to death in some other bezdin, right? That guy was condemned to death in some other bezdin, and these were his edim, right? They will be believed, and the person will be executed even in a different bezdin. Okay? Sanhedrin, there is a Sanhedrin in both Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. What does this mean? So it means that the dinim associated with Sanhedrin, right, that you can assemble Sanhedrin for the purposes of being Mekadesh L'Chodesh, or, I mean, according to most Rishonim, certainly to be done in Nefashos, to send somebody potentially to death, these things can happen in Chutz Laaretz just like they can happen in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Sanhedrin, how he regas echad b'shavuah nikreis chayvlanis. A Sanhedrin, which kills somebody once in, I say, a shavuah. What does a shavuah mean? What's a shavuah? Very good, Bednar. It means 7 years. Right, so a Sanhedrin kills somebody once in 7 years. Right, shavuah as in, because the Torah refers to the street cycle as a shavuah sometimes, right? Will be... it's called chayvlanis. It means it's a violent bezdin. It's not a good thing. Right, so we see we don't like the death penalty. And then Rabbi Eliezer and Eliezer ben Azariah Omer Echad L'Shivim Shana. Even if they kill ones in 70 years, then we don't like them. They're too violent to bez din. Rabbi Tarfon ve Rabbi Akiva Omer Ilu Ayinu ve Sanhedrin Lo Nera Gana Me'olam. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon says, if we were on Sanhedrin, nobody would ever be executed. And of course, comes along the opposite opinion. Rashbag Omer Af Hein Marbin Shaykh Dam Yisrael. Rashbag says, no, if you never execute someone, then people are going to kill other people with impunity. Right? Sometimes you need to execute people, is what Rashbag says. Okay, Rav Shem, Rav Anshem, Ben Gamliel. Cool. Okay. So, let's do the Gemara. Lifnei Oitzo Bezdin Hudein Soistrin Ha Lifnei Bezdin Acher Soistrin. Okay. So, remember that in the Mishnah we discussed this case of somebody who ran away after it was decided he was Chayv Misa, right? Or whatever, he was Chayv something. That the Bezdin, when he comes back, the Bezdin won't reconsider his case. He's Chayev anyway, right? So it says, the Gemara is Medayik. If it was this Bezdin, then we won't reconsider. If it was another Bezdin, then we will reconsider. Right? But wait, the next statement in the Mishnah says that no, if he comes for another Bezdin and there are Edim about what happened, then we don't reconsider that he will be killed. Right? So it's a stira, it's a contradiction. Do we hold like the first bit of the Mishnah or the second bit of the Mishnah? What's the answer? Amara Bailey Kasha Kanberi Stroll Kan Mechutzala Aretz. Rabbi says, no. The question is whether he ran away to Eretz Yisroel or whether he ran away to Chutzal Ha'aretz.
Wait, so the kasha is that that Edim are required to put him to death?
No. The Bezdin is, the kasha is that it sounds from the first bit of the Mishnah that if somebody sits to death and runs away and comes into a different Bezdin, then we would reconsider, like we would rejudge him and see if he's actually chayev, right? But then the second bit of the Mishnah sounds like, no, we wouldn't reconsider it, we'd just execute him, right? So which is it? So the answer is, Abai says, no, it depends where he runs to. If he runs to another Bezdin in Chutz Laaretz, it doesn't make a difference, we'll just execute him. If he runs away to a Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, then we will rejudge him, we'll hold a retrial. In terms of the details, I don't think it makes a difference. Once the Bezdin's declared a Psak Din, they've declared a Psak Din. I mean, sometimes Bezdin, Batei Din did appeal to each other in Matthias, but it's a complicated question. But Begadol, I don't think. Once the Bezdin's made a decision, I think it's Begadol final. Okay. Desanya, as we say in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Doisai, Omer Meishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, Baruch Meharetz, Achutz Laaretz, Ein Soisrin Esdino, Mechutz Laaretz, Aaretz, Soisrin Esdino, Mibnei Yischutz Hashel Yisrael. And we see a brisa which says this, Rabbi Yehuda ben Doisai, in name of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, if somebody runs away from Chutz Laaretz to Yisrael, we reconsider. If somebody runs away from Chutz Laaretz, we don't. And the reason why is because Eretz Yisrael is a schus. So maybe the schus of Eretz Yisrael will help him come out and not be executed.
From a place in Israel to a place in Israel?
It sounds like you wouldn't reconsider it. Okay. Sanhedrin Nehegitz Vechuli. Mana Hanemili. How do you know Sanhedrin where you can do some, you can have a Sanhedrin in Chutz Laaretz just like you can in Eretz Yisrael? Desonu Ravana Vahyuela Lachem Lechukas Mishpat Ledoris Echem. The pasuk says, "Vahiyu elan." These things will be for you as a chukas mishpat, as a mishpat, right? For all of your generations. L'manal sanedrin shenegas baratz v'chutz laaretz. It must be in all cases, including in Chutz Laaretz. Imkein matal mudloimar b'sha'arecha. If that's true, why does the pasuk say that you only need a bezdin in your sha'arim, in your gates? That sounds like it's where it's yours, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, right? B'sha'arecha ata moshiv batei dinim b'chol plach u'plach v'chol v'yir v'yir v'chutz la'aretz ata moshiv b'chol plach u'plach v'i ata moshiv b'chol yir v'yir. In Eretz Yisroel, in every big city, in every little city, you need to have a bezdin. In Chutz La'aretz, and I'll just translate the gears of the Gemara we have here, you only need to have a bezdin in big cities, but not in little cities. Right? There is a big machlokes we're showing him about the gears, he's here in Akmara, so consider. Not for right now.
But when we say, very close that it's Eretz Yisrael. Like, why? No, I'm not saying specifically.
I didn't understand what the.
It says,
what was your question?
So in the cities that Hashem gives to you for your tribes, Hashem can give us.
But it's in the Sha'arim. Right? That's what the pasuk means, but it says that if it's not relevant, it's not bechol she'arecha she'ar yitena or she'ar Hashem alekecha nitzein lechal shvatecha, then it won't be in every single city, only in the really big cities. That's the issue. Sanhedrin, Iregas, Vechule, E. Baya, Lahu, Echa, the Shivin Shana, Nikris, Havonis, I Dilma, Irech, Arahu, Taker, E. Taker. The Gemara asks, does it really mean once every 70 years? Or does it mean, is that just a way of saying, you know, very, very, very rarely? Yeah, we're not sure. Taker, we're not sure what the answer to the question is. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon, the Rabbi Akiva, Mimila, you know, Vechule. Now let's discuss the comment of Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. Hechi havu avdi. What would they do? How did they make sure that nobody would ever be executed? Right? So, the background to this is that when Edim come and testify about someone, so you need to do what's called Drishan Chakira. So you need to ask them 7 questions, right, which are set in the Gemara, and you need to ask them all sorts of other questions as well, which you decide upon to make sure that they have the same story. You interview them separately, you make sure they have exactly the same story. Okay?
Why don't you make them just take a shvuah?
Because that's not as effective, is it? Edim don't take a shvuah. Edim don't take a shvuah. Edim just have to corroborate each other separately with all the little details of the story. Right? That's a better way of checking, isn't it? And if you're making them take a shvuah, then you're trusting that they're honest people.
And then how come shvuah would work in other cases?
Sometimes shvuahs work, but this is a more effective method, no? Intuitively. Okay, so it says, how would they do to make this, create a situation that nobody would ever be executed? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar d'Amri Tarvayu Re'isem Treifa Harag Shalem Harag. So they would ask the following question: Was the guy who was killed a treifa or a shalem? Now, a treifa is somebody who suffers from a sort of physical flaw in his body that means he's going to die in the next year. The background is... Thank you. If the guy killed a treifa, it's not mutter to kill a treifa, but he's not chayiv misa. Right? There's no chayiv misa if you kill a treifa. So, they say, was it a treifa or a shalem? Right? That's a really good way of making sure that nobody will ever be able to answer the questions properly. Is how on earth are they supposed to know if he's a treifa? Right? They would have had to actually slice him open afterwards, check his lungs, and check all the other things that mean he's or isn't a treifa. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, im dim zalimer shalim have dilma b'makim saif nekev have. And Rav Ashi says, and even if they chopped open his lungs and checked them to make sure that there's no hole in his lungs, to make sure that he's not a treifa, you'll say, no, maybe the point where the sword went in, there was a hole. How do you know he wasn't a treifa? That's how they would do it. Okay. How would they deal with the case of Gilui Arayos? Right, I understand how they would avoid ever executing somebody for murder, but how would they avoid executing somebody for Gilui Arayos? So, Abaye v'Rava Dan Ritar by Reisim, give me Chol v'Shreferes. Did you actually see him go into her? Did you actually see it happen? No. Right? You didn't. You weren't, you know, sitting there with a little magnifying glass making sure that, you know, everything happened the way it usually happens. Therefore, right? V'Rabbanan Hechi Dainu. If you need that, then how would Rabbanan ever be able to execute somebody for Gilui Arayos? So the answer, the obvious answer, Kishmuel, Damar Shmuel, as I like what Shmuel says, V'Menafim Mishayiroo Kemenafim. Just acting like people who are sleeping together. Mistama, that's actually what's happening. Right? We don't need to, that level of certainty we don't need. That's how Rabbanan thought. Okay. Stay tuned. If you're interested, there's an interesting Tosfos here, Kemikcho Bashreferes, where they discuss other cases. How would you get out of executing somebody in other cases? Fine. Hadran Alach, Ketzad Ha'edim. That's the first parak. Let's start the next Mishnah. Elu Hein Hagolim. Okay. The next parak talks about, is entirely about, or almost entirely, about what's called when somebody goes to Golos. So what's the case if somebody goes to Golos, right? If they kill somebody accidentally, a Harig Mishkaga, right? The whole parak is about all different cases where you go into Golos, you don't get into Golos, what happens when you go into Golos, how do you come back from Golos, all those sorts of things, that's this parak. So Elohim and Golos, these are the people who go into Golos. Harig Nefesh Bishkaga, somebody who kills somebody accidentally. Haya Me'agela Be'Me'agela V'Nafla V'Aragatu. Fine. So the case is as follows. If he was spreading, they didn't, Rashi tells you, they didn't have a slanted roof, like what we have. Right? They had flat roofs. And therefore, what they would do to make the, if you have a flat roof, it's a problem, the water will pool on it and it'll rot. And firstly, it'll dissolve bricks, and secondly, it'll just create rot and stuff, it'll create problems. So what they would do is they would put plaster on top of the roof in a slant so that the water would flow off. Right? Plaster, sorry? Oh, I thought somebody said something. Okay. Fine. Now, the way they would do it is they would basically have a rolling pin with plaster on it, and they would roll it down, and so it would get thinner at one end, right? So if you were in the middle of rolling down, and then you dropped that pin on somebody's head by accident, and that person died, you would go into galus. Or alternatively, if you were lowering a barrel, you had a barrel for some reason on a roof, and you were lowering it, and it fell on somebody's head, and he died, then you would go into galus. Or if you were climbing down a ladder, right, and you, or the ladder, not clear which, fell on someone and killed him, you would go into galus.
Of course. Is it going into galus and punishment for having done it, or is it to protect you from
the both are machlokes tanoim, and pashas certainly machlokes rishonim. Okay. We will get to it. It's a discussion in the Gemara. Okay, so then it's a vow. Im haya moishech b'magela. But if you were in the middle of pulling the rolling pin back, not pushing it down, right, pulling it back toward the thicker part of the plaster on the roof. V'nafla la v'aragatu. Haya doyle b'chavis. V'nitzach level v'nafla v'aragatu. Or you were pulling a barrel up to the roof instead of lowering it, and the rope snapped and it fell on somebody's head and killed him. Or you were climbing a ladder, not climbing down a ladder, and you fell on someone, or the ladder fell on someone and killed him. Then you wouldn't go into galus. We'll discuss the difference between the cases in the Gemara. Zehakal, this is a general rule. Anything which is going down and then kills somebody, goes into galus. But if it's not going down when it kills, then you do not go into galus. Okay.